So we're going to be looking at that very famous scripture out of John chapter 14 where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. And I want to read to you just from that scripture initially to put it into context. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his works. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the end of 217 and we move at midnight tonight into 218. And it's a good time for us to take time and reflect on what has occurred in our individual lives and on a wider perspective in 2017. You will have had, and I will have had, moments of sadness, of elation, moments of struggle and moments of triumph. I want you and I want myself to stop and think back where you were at the start of this year. What were your hopes and your fears? What hopes were realised and what fears did not actually come to pass? I want you just to stop and think for a minute. How many can remember back to the same time last year? I'll bet I struggled with this one. How many people actually remember the beginning of the year? John does. Yeah. But it's interesting. We sort of think it's an important time of the year, but 12 months later on, you know, couldn't have been terribly important. We've all forgotten it. It's interesting. Maybe there were some fears you had for the year. Was anybody started the year with a fear in their heart? Huh? Last year? Yeah, beginning of this year, yeah. Anyone start with a fear in their heart? You did, right? Anyone start with a hope for the year? For something to happen? I won't ask you, but did the hope happen or did the fear happen? Okay. And what of 2018? We're all going to have hopes and fears, the expectation perhaps of a new birth into the family, or perhaps an ongoing struggle with people near to us who wrestle with an ongoing long-term illness. Although taken out of context, the words of the Christmas carol, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, spring readily to mind. Most certainly our hopes and fears are centred for us in and upon the work of Jesus in our lives. There will continue to be young people stressed out by the experts, in inverted commas, telling them that it will be difficult for them to find a job. There will be families, young and old, who continue to struggle financially. There will continue to be older people who think life has passed them by and that they've nothing to show for it. then there'll be other older people wondering, what happens to them when they die. Many of them with fear wondering what happens to them when they die. It is as if we set goals in life and seek to kick the ball directly between the goalposts, and then someone or something or someone moves the posts so that the goals we were seeking become useless or meaningless. Everything changes. In the past year nationally, we've seen the gay and lesbian legislation pass through Parliament in what for this country is probably the largest basic societal change since the simplified divorce legislation passed some decades ago. Whatever your views on these issues, they represent major changes in the way life and especially family life is viewed in Australia today. I have to confess, and this is my personal observation, I'm not telling you it may not have been yours, that as I looked at the parliamentarians and the media cheering at the result of the public vote, I thought of the crowds cheering Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and the subsequent events. Crowds can be fickle, ask any politician. What will 2018 bring nationally? Will we see Christians in Australia jailed for breaking law, for declaring publicly that Jesus is the only way to God? Will Christian schools be unable to employ only Christian teachers? The whole freedom of speech issue could potentially become a battleground. I suspect that we will have a very interesting year ahead. One thing is certain about 2018. There will be change, both for good and bad. Some change will be planned and expected. Some will be unplanned and unexpected. But most importantly, you can and will survive and thrive when you put your trust in Jesus. His goalposts don't move. As I share with you this morning, I want to take you to take into 2018 three words out of the John 14 verse 6 verse where Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. When you are confronted by any situation you can't handle, that is, someone moves the goalposts in your life, then think on these three words and see if you can remember the words that I give you now, see if you still remember them in 12 months' time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, where am I going? The truth, what does your word, the Bible, say about this circumstance? The life, how do I do it, Holy Spirit? Many modern Christians are unaware that believers in the early church were not only known as Christians, mentioned three times in the New Testament, but also as Nazarenes, or the way, mentioned five times in the New Testament. So we could imagine our church here in an early Jewish context not being called members of the church in the marketplace, Bondi Junction, but members of the way, Bondi Junction. When Jesus says, I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me, he is drawing a definitive line in the sand. He makes what appears to be an absolutely outrageous claim that unless you believe in him, then there is no other way to meet God the Father in heaven. For all other religions or supposed ways, there is, as it were, a sign up which says, no way, stop, turn around and find the way. Christians around the world today are persecuted because of this belief, because they will not renounce this belief. Will such persecution ever happen overtly in Australia? The thing about recognising Jesus as the way is not that Christians seek to force others to believe, as some other religions do, but that only by the demonstration of God's unconditional love in word and in deed, and by the working of the Holy Spirit, can people believe that Jesus is the way. It is our task in 2018 to work with Jesus to allow him to be the way in us and just as importantly in others. To prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness of our lives and theirs. To make a straight road to God. To see depression and burdens lifted. To see pride levelled by humility. To see disconnected lives reconnected. To see the rough diamonds of people around us made to sparkle afresh. Then as all come together believing in Jesus, the way, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. As you and as I face our life circumstances in 2018, remember that your first word for 2018 is the way. Where am I going now? Remember that Jesus is the way. As you follow the way, you'll kick your first goal. Boom. Straight through the goalposts. But don't move, right? So your first word and my first word for 2018, the way. When we think of the word truth, we're reminded of Pontius Pilate's famous dissertation in Luke 18, 36, 38, where he is questioning Jesus before deciding what he's to do with him prior to Jesus' crucifixion. What is truth? The words are spoken dismissively by Pilate, probably because of the then Roman mindset, which identified truth with the goddess Veritas, meaning truth. The belief was that she hid in the bottom of a holy well because she was so elusive. Even today, what is truth is a very divisive question in a world where each individual is taught to understand that whatever is their individual view of the truth, it is right for them to believe it is so. We live in an atomistic, fragmented, and dare I say, anarchist society. The spirit of the goddess Veritas is well and truly at work in the 21st century. Up against this comes the Christian worldview of absolute truth. As Jesus says in John 18, verse 37, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me. Very recently, a high school I attended some 48 years ago have been making a financial appeal to raise funds for a new educational building on the school grounds. Prospective donors were invited to provide funds by purchasing one or more bricks for a certain sum of money per brick. On each brick, you are entitled to put your name, your years of attendance at the school, and a limited number of characters for other wording. If you know me, will know that I'm not one for engraved stone tablets and the like with inscriptions on church walls. The only place I hope and pray that my name is written is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where I hope mine's written, and I pray that all of you would believe the similar sort of thing. Now, I wasn't the best Latin scholar. My classical language studies got lost somewhere between Caesar's Northern Gallic Wars in the middle of winter, and that's appropriate at the moment, and Ovid's hexameters and pentameters. In this instance, I felt that I did owe a debt to the school for my education, and I duly decided to purchase a brick. But if I were to do it, I still wanted some recognition of Christ on it. So, other than my name and years of attendance, what should I put? The school's Latin motto, Veritate et Virtute, truth and courage, gave me the clue. And that's where I started to think carefully what I should put on it. I thought of Pilate's question to Jesus, what is truth? But the Latin translation, Quid est Veritas, provided too many characters to fit on the inscription. But why not, to provoke the more inquisitive, use the words, who is truth? So I had the words, Quis Veritas, inscribed on the brick. My Latin teachers would be pleased. My prayer is that it finds a location in the building that will speak to at least one and hopefully many during the lifetime of that building. Use every circumstance you can to proclaim the name of Jesus. In the reading out of Isaiah 51, which Beth read earlier, King David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David's adultery with Bathsheba, comes to God with these words in verse 6. Surely you desire truth in the innermost parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. In 2018, remember this second key word, truth, and what the Bible says about the circumstances which confront you, whether they are caused by outside circumstances or those of your own making. King David, at the height of his struggle against his own sin, cried out to God for help. When you are at the height of any struggle in 2018, listen carefully to this. Remember this word, truth, and ask God to lead you into the truth of his living word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword in discerning our thoughts. Then you will have kicked goal number two through the goalpost, right? So way and truth. Remember those words, read them in the scriptures and write them upon your heart when you confront difficult situations. The third key word for me and for you for 2018 is life. In Proverbs 8:35, which Beth read earlier, we see these words, "For those who find me, find life." Our initial apprehension of God is through accepting Christ for who he is, confessing our sins, and inviting him to be both our Saviour and Lord. However, as the scripture says, our continued walk with him involves watching daily at his doors and waiting at his doorway. Life for you and me in 2018 involves us having close daily conversations with God. If I was to confess to you, do I have daily close conversations with God? I'd have to say not always. I try, but it doesn't always happen. However, as the scripture said, our continued walk with him involves watching daily at his doors and waiting at his doorway. One of the best known scriptures in the New Testament is John 10:10, part of which reads, "I have come that they may have life and have it in the full." I can remember very many years ago, I was on a mission trip over to Fiji and we're in this hall and we're in there and there's a lot of young Fijians in there and we're in there and we're seeing John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And if you can imagine a lot of young Fijians and crazy Aussies praising God in that way. But when you sing a song like that, it starts to stir up your spirit. And you start to say, hey, I've got life in abundance. I haven't just got it in a little part. I've got it in abundance. Wow, fantastic. Do you ever show that abundance to other people? Or we go, you know, no. We've got abundance. We've got a life in abundance which Christ means us to show to people. Usually when we read the early part of John's Gospel in chapters 1 and verse 4, "In him was life, and his life was the light of men," because there's a continuation of the symbolic allusion to Jesus in terms of light in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it," we tend to disregard the word life. Although the word light appears 25 times in John's Gospel, we should remember that the word life appears 16 times also. I suggest that when in 2018, when it comes to seeking out life, it would be really helpful to underline the words of life in the Gospel of John and do a contextual word study each time it occurs. In fact, you could perhaps call the Gospel of John the Gospel of Light and Life. But anyway, I'd suggest that you do a contextual word study on that word life each time it occurs in the Gospel of John. Do you like being around people who continue to complain? Do you have sometimes phone calls from people and as soon as you hear is on the other line, your stomach goes, uh-oh. People have like that sometimes? Yeah, okay. People who, for no good reason or sometimes justifiably because of their life circumstances, need someone on whom to offload their problems. Are there people you deliberately avoid because you know that they're going to continually download their usually predictable complaints on you? Do you walk up the street and you see someone up there and go, I don't want to meet that person? I've done that? Has anybody ever done that? Yeah, okay. I plead guilty. I can't see too many others here pleading guilty. Yeah, okay, right, okay, a few more, okay. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes there are people there and we just don't want to know about it. It's as though they have a dark cloud continually hanging over them. And what do you do in 2018 with such people? As Christians, a Christian response to people like this for 2018. The scriptures say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And there are times when we're going to need to do this, to be sometimes long-term, non-critical listeners to people's complaints and people we have difficulty relating to, right? So one of your messages for 2018, learn to bear one another's burdens. However, I'll put a rider on that. I'll put a rider on it. But Jesus also says that he's come, we might have life and have it in abundance. There comes a time when he gives us the privilege of pointing them towards scriptures which talk about life. Jesus does not mean for us or for them to live in a continually trapped and negative state. When you share life with these people, how they respond to the new life in Christ offered to them may determine your future relationship with them. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. Even Jesus told his disciples to move on to the next village when people would not listen to his message. He knew that they had a finite time in which to get the message out. Our time also is finite, and just maybe sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling us to move on. Because most Christians are compassionate and long-suffering, they find this hard. But it can be the best way to avoid burnout and to bring new life into our ministry. If you see people in ministry that are burning out, one of the reasons they burn out is they take, because of their compassionate nature, other people's burdens upon them. When people share the worries, they empathise, they sympathise to such an extent that they go under because they're taking the burdens on. Now, Jesus never meant us to do that. He meant us to give him the burden and to put our yoke in with his yoke and let him bear the burden. But there can be a tendency with us when we're ministering to long-term difficult people that sometimes we get sucked in and taken down with the burden. So we have to learn before God to know when it's time, if it's time for us to continue doing that ministry or to perhaps saying terminate it, and that's it, it's a time for us to move on to minister in a different way or to different people. Jesus came to set the prisoners free, to give both the lost and those ministering to them life. And I reckon that's a message for probably many of us here in this church, perhaps in 2018. Don't give up your ministry to people that are difficult, but learn to be discerning and to know how far you take it, and so you don't go under with them. On my last night in the Ukraine earlier this year, while I was sleeping in Kiev, I had a dream which seemed to me to be from God. I heard the most beautiful, clear and pure singing for what seemed to me to be from the voice of an angel, but in the form of a lament. Now, before you think I'm nuts, I have to say to you that I do not seek out such dreams, nor do I take primary guidance from such dreams alone, certainly not without referring them to older and much wiser Christians than I, and most importantly, comparing them with the Scriptures. And our preeminent source of guidance should always be the Scriptures. However, the words the angels were singing were these: chains unfettered, freedom released. And I can't explain to you humanly that it was just beautiful, beautiful singing. Chains unfettered, freedom released. They and their sequence of words are not words I would naturally have thought of. But on sharing them with our Christian Ukrainian hosts, they said that such singing in the form of a lament was not uncommon in the Ukraine. They found the words particularly relevant to their circumstances in the Ukraine, to be released from both internal corruption and foreign oppression and set free to live life in the full. And interestingly enough, there was just a prisoner swap between the Ukrainians and the Russians just a day or so ago on the news. So, this word life applies not only to individuals, but also to nations, so that the chains of darkness and oppression might be broken, the captives set free, and new life in Christ be set in motion in 2018 in many nations. And, as you hear the news again, if you take the news on board, you could almost go under with all the evil and the sad news you hear from around the world. Life is the number three word and goal in 2018, both for you individually and for the nations. So we kick goal number three. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you want to see your goalposts and kick your goals and see solid goalposts before you and other people not moving the posts on you? And do you want to kick your goals in 2018? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the dot right at the centre of the crossbar. And that's why when they gave me those soccer posts, I thought, I can't see the dot and the crossbar. They should have given me rugby posts. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the dot right at the centre of the crossbar, and remember these three words. I am the way. Where am I going? Where are we going with Jesus? I am the truth. What does God's word say to you about the circumstance you are facing in 2018? The life. How do I live this life in abundance with you, Father God, to share faith and your love and your forgiveness with others? May God richly bless you as you daily work out your purpose, as you daily work out his purpose in your life in 2018. God bless you all.